We're talking about Jesus this year in the Gospel of John, and today we're talking about him being the light. He is the light of the world. This is a transforming thought in your relationship with God when you understand that when you receive Jesus, you are receiving a light. You are receiving something tangible, something helpful, something life-transforming, something that will enable you to live a totally different life. You know, we talk about Jesus changing us. This teaching today tells you why he is able to change you. What is going on that helps you be a different kind of person? Please turn your Bibles to John 8. We're going to begin with verse number 12. I'm going to grab my water bottle here this morning. John 8, please stand with me as we read the Word of God together today. John 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." They said to him, therefore, "Where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Father in heaven, thank you. We can rest in this promise today that you sent your Son to this earth to be a light. Yes. So, Lord God, in our darkness, there are some in this room that have been walking in darkness. There are some in this room that have not yet come to you in faith through Christ. And so all they know is darkness, trying to figure out life, trying to figure out this world, trying to make choices all on their own. Like Pastor Jeff illustrated, they've been stumbling and been running into things and been making a mess and have experienced great fear. They don't know where to turn. Lord God, you have brought them here today. I pray the light of Jesus will shine. And I thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. So, I was on vacation and I did some great spiritual thinking and deep reading, and I thought I'd share with you some words from an amazing theologian, Garfield, and you might have seen this comic strip, "You Should Always Follow My Lead." I don't know about always. See, there's Pastor Phil quoting a cat. Isn't that awesome? And you know, you have to ask yourself this question somewhere in your life journey. Who are you following? You're following someone. You're following yourself. You think you got it figured out. Or you're following maybe your friends or the culture of the world. You're following maybe some people that impressed you at school, or in those that were leading the way ahead of you, maybe in age, generation. I don't know. But you've got to ask this question sometime in your life. Who are you following? Because you are following someone. Now, let me paint the picture of John chapter 8 for a moment. We talked a couple weeks ago when I was here that there was this great feast. In fact, it was the most popular feast for the people of Israel to come to. It was called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. It was in the fall of the year. It had several purposes. One was to celebrate the harvest, to be so thankful that they had a good harvest, and to thank God for that. But the other thing is, as they camped all over the area of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem and on the hills of Jerusalem, they had a ceremony, we talked last time, about water But they also had a ceremony about light, and they used fire for that ceremony. So that's one reason why we had Pastor Jeff helping us today. And he loves illustrating things with light and fire. But in the court of women in the Temple Mount, they had several courtyards. One courtyard was called the Courtyard of Women. It does not mean that only women were there. It meant that women could be there. So there was another courtyard that women were not allowed to be a part of. But actually what happened is the Courtyard of Women was actually the most populated courtyard in the Temple Mount, because it had women there, it had men there, it would have young people there, and it was a place of gathering for families. And in the Courtyard of the Women, during this feast, they would have four giant, huge candelabras that during the feast ceremonies each day at night, they would light these huge four candelabras. And according to historians, when those candelabras were lit, all of the Jerusalem, Judea area could see the light. Okay. The priests would walk around the courtyard during the ceremony carrying blazing torches, and they would be singing and celebrating the provision of God in their lives. So now try to understand the setting of that, this huge light ceremony, the huge display of light. And one of the reasons why they did that is it was a reminder of during the 40 years of their journey in the wilderness in their history, that God led them with a pillar, a cloud by day. Anybody know how he led them at night? A pillar of fire. So this pillar of cloud by day became a pillar of fire supernaturally, and there's no natural explanation for it, by night. We find this also in Psalm 78, verse 14. Look closely at this verse. It says, in the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the fiery light. Now, if you notice the verb in that verse, it says he led them by the pillar of cloud, and the implication, he led them with the fiery light also. Now, how do you lead somebody with a fiery light at night? Now, we don't believe they actually moved any direction at nighttime, but somehow there was a leading of God, a message to the people, I am with you, I have a plan for you, and you can trust me. And this fiery light that they saw every day. Now, some of you sleep with a nightlight. Lyle, you have a nightlight, don't you? Yeah. Like a Mickey Mouse kind of nightlight, kind of sometime, yeah? Okay. Anyway, it's okay to pick on Lyle. He really wants me to. He actually asked me to do this every once in a while. If I don't, he doesn't feel like I love him very much. Anyway, so, but you know, we think at the nighttime, I need some kind of a light that will guide me if I have to get up at night or, you know, some kind of something's happening. I want to be able to see where I'm going. And so when somebody got up at night, or even in their tents when they were camping there in the wilderness, they could always count on that pillar of fire. God is with us, and God is leading us. Now, this is the purpose of this feast. They were going to remind each other that God is with us. God is going to guide us. God's presence is real. And so they had this huge light ceremony. In the midst of this ceremony, Jesus is in the court of the women, and he has this conversation with those that are listening. So today we're going to look at this thought. In the light of Jesus, what do we really have? Let's get real and practical. When I say Jesus is your light, you should have a clear idea what that says to you and the way you live your life. So number one, if you have the light of Jesus, you're going to have life. That's what Jesus says. John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. So now we know from that statement that it's not just for the Jewish people, but now he's making it. This was a Jewish ceremony. We're on the Temple Mount. We're in Jerusalem. And he makes a declaration that's going to impact all nationalities, all people groups. I am the light of the world. Now, let's just kind of pause for a moment. In the Gospel of John, there are seven I am statements that Jesus makes that you need to kind of know. And in fact, you might write down some of these scriptures and look at it later. But the seven I am statements in John, number one, we learned that he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. John 6. We're learning today, I am the light of the world, John 8, verse 12. John 10, I am the door of the sheep. John 10, 11, I am the good shepherd. John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15, I am the vine. I do need to mention that in the Hebrew mindset, when a Jewish man used that phrase, I am, we find out in the Gospel of John, that was a statement that really described who God is. When Moses was wanting to know who he was talking to, God says, I am. And so in the culture of the Hebrew mindset, when they heard the I am speak, they knew God was speaking. And so when Jesus says, I am, and you wonder how he emphasized that in his language, I am, all the Jewish audience was going, what? That's what God would say. Well, yeah, because Jesus is God's son. And now listen closely to what he says. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Now, here at South Hills Church, we've kind of changed some of our terms in our Christian faith. And I don't know if you caught it or not, but I have felt led a couple years ago to use a different term than the word Christian, okay? And I'll explain it real quickly. What we talk about here at South Hills Church, and I'll ask you this question at some time, are you a Christ follower? To me, that has much more power to it than the word Christian. Now, the word Christian is not bad, but I have found in our culture that the word Christian has gotten watered down so much. People use that name or that term in so many different ways that are not even biblical that it sounds like a label instead of a lifestyle. And I want us to be Christ followers. What does that say? It says, this is who I am and what I do with my life. You can look at my life. And not just because of a name tag, I called myself a Christian, but how I am living my life, I'm a Christ follower. And this is one of the verses that I would point to. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So we have some descriptions of what it means to be a Christ follower. You might wonder if you're a Christ follower, by the way, just before I get into the definition, it doesn't mean you're a Christ follower because you showed up at church today. Now, I want to just encourage you. What a great decision to make in the middle of the summer. You could be on a boat somewhere. You could be fishing. You could have a great... But you chose to be here today, okay? And I want to just affirm that. But I need to tell you, just because you showed up doesn't mean that you're a Christ follower. This is what it means. The Bible says to be a Christ follower, it means that you are a disciple. In other words, you have made a decision. The word disciple means a committed decision. It means I have decided to follow Jesus. It's not just an emotion. It's not just a casual, I don't have anything else to do. It's a decision of my life. The Bible says we are called to make disciples. So we're not just trying to fill up a room here today. We want to make disciples. Second, it means to give yourself fully to him. Jesus does not want halfway followers. He doesn't want sort of followers, kind of followers-ish type of followers. He wants fully devoted followers. So it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to make every choice the right choice, but it means that you are all in. I am all in with Jesus. Okay, let's just say it the way it is. When Jesus died on the cross, was he all in? I mean, did he kind of halfway get crucified for you? No. Did he have just like one hand nailed up, but the rest of it he did what he wanted? No, it was fully surrendered to God's will, the Father, for your salvation, and then he wants us to be fully all in with him. It means to lose or to give up a life of following Satan, sin, or self. So when Jesus says, come follow me, he says, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself and follow me. So you have to make a decision of letting go of something before you fully follow him. You have to say, now it doesn't mean you're going to be perfect, but it means I'm going to make a new lifestyle choice here. I'm not going to be a Satan follower. You might not have ever realized that that's what you're doing when you follow the way of darkness. I'm not going to be a sin follower. I'm not going to be a selfish follower. I'm going to be a Christ follower. And so there's a decision you're making, a change of direction. It means that you're going to believe in him or trust in him, John 3:16, and you're going to love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, Matthew 22:37. Now, did you notice closely, it says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Do you know you cannot walk in darkness and be a Christ follower? I'm not saying you're not going to fall back, and I'm not saying that you're not going to be tempted, and I'm not going to say you're not going to make a wrong choice, but there is a decision. I am no longer going to walk in darkness. I want to walk in the light. That's why I'm going to follow Jesus. And then it says here, if you do this, you will have the light of life. So light and life are connected. Okay? John, the Gospel of John, refers to life 36 times. So life is really the thread of message of the Gospel of John. He's trying to tell us, how do we get life with God? How do we get the abundant life? How do we get real life? And he's going to tell us, and right now it tells us, one of the ingredients of life is to know Jesus as your light. Now the Bible teaches that God is light, 1 John 1:5. So the very nature of God is light. Now what does that mean? Well, it means, number one, that he is truth. Ephesians 4:18 makes this statement about who God is. And when you follow him, you're walking in the truth. So when you walk in the light, you're walking in truth. So if your life is given into lies, you're not walking in the light. Because the light is going to tell you what truth looks like. Also, God is light means it is holiness. John 3:19 says that people love the darkness because they love the deeds of wickedness. So when you are walking in the light, you are wanting to walk in holiness. You want your choices to be pure and to be pleasing to God who is light. God is light also means spiritual sight. You can see things from a perspective of God. You can see what the Holy Spirit would want you to believe, or what the Holy Spirit would want you to know, or what the Holy Spirit would want you to do. So you have now spiritual vision. How many of you, I've done this so often where I decide to read a book or whatever and I forgot my glasses. I'm trying to find them. I'm looking for them. And you might as well forget it. I can't read in that light at that time of day without my glasses. You put them on, you go, oh, that's so much clearer, you know. When you have the Holy Spirit in your life and when you're following Jesus, you have a clarity of spiritual sight you cannot have on your own. It also means the dominion of God. Acts 26:18 means now we are living in the light. It means you're living in his kingdom. You've left the kingdom of Satan, which is darkness, and now you're in the kingdom of light. It's the very nature of God, 1 Peter 2:9. So when you come into a relationship with Jesus, you're coming into a different way of seeing life, eternity, God, your own choices, your family, your jobs. Everything now has a different perspective because you're in the light. Okay. Do you know that this was a big part of the prophecy in the Old Testament? Isaiah 60, verse 1. Here's a prophetic word. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Now listen to this. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your coming. So the plan of God from the Old Testament was the light is coming. The light is coming. No, not just for the nation of Israel, but for all the nations. And then Jesus comes and he says, I am the light of the world. So when you receive Jesus, you're going to receive life. Okay. Now let me give you the three categories real quick. It first of all refers to physical life. I want to tell you, when I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I see him now as my creator. Do you know that Jesus created you? The Bible says in Colossians, he created all things. How does that change your relationship with God? Oh, it's huge. It's huge. When you know that God created you, that every life physically is coming from his hand, it changes the way you look at your body. It changes the way you look at your choices that you have, because I have a creator who made me and I need to honor him with my body. He is my sustainer of my life every day when I don't feel very strong or I'm not feeling my best. Man, God, I'm looking to you to help me to get the strength for today. He's my healer. If you're in need of healing today, we pray for healing and we know Jesus is the healer. So physical life is part of it. But I want to tell you, when it says that Jesus is the light and he gives us life, I want to tell you the primary focus I want you to think of is spiritual life. Okay? When you receive Jesus and that his light comes into your life, He becomes your personal savior. He becomes your provider. He becomes your friend. You walk with Jesus. You're walking in his light every day, and it changes everything. Acts 26:18 says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. When Paul was going around telling everybody about Jesus in the book of Acts, he was saying, now, if you receive Jesus, your eyes are going to be opened. You will see things you've never seen before. You will value things that you've never valued before. And I love Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Isn't that interesting how those two thoughts come together? Light and salvation. Jesus, you are my light. You are my salvation. 1 Peter 2:9 says, him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. If you're not a Christ follower here this morning, I need to tell you, you know it in your own heart, that your heart is dark without Jesus. Your life choices are in the kingdom of darkness. And I'm just going to invite you today to come to the light, okay? Because when you come to Jesus, you come to a place where abundant life happens and spiritual life happens. And by the way, eternal life happens, where forever and ever, Jesus will be my Lord, my God, my King, and I will worship him. And if you do not know Jesus, you do not know life. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I have come to give you life more abundant. Now let's talk a little bit more about this light that he is going to bring into our lives. He says he's the light. So what is he really saying to us? Well, in his light, we have understanding of some things. And I'm going to give you four ideas here this morning. Number one, his light will bring us an understanding of God's plan. When you receive Jesus, you have an understanding of God's plan. And what I mean by this is a direction for your life. If you have no direction, you have no idea the purpose of life, you come to Jesus and you will have a clarity of direction. Now, what does that look like? Well, John 8:13 says, so the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. So the crowd in the court of women there on the Temple Mount was saying, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. They're saying this to Jesus. It's kind of interesting. Your testimony is not true. And you might have some family and friends. My people might tell you, you know, why do you believe in Jesus? That's not true. That's just a book of fables. So now verse 14, Jesus answered, said this, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. So now he says he's the light of the world. And now this is an evidence that you have the light. Verse 14, the evidence that you have the light is you know where you came from and you know where you're going. Okay. Could you say that about your life today? I see my past, and I see it clearer than I've ever seen it before. Because when you're in the light, now you see your past choices, and you see everything you've done in your past, and you also can see your future different than you've ever seen it before. God has a future for you. So Jesus gives us a clue here about living in the light, that God's light gives direction. Proverbs 2:13 says this, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So when you have the light, it has something to do with your life. The word walk there means lifestyle or life choices. Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. I thought it was a good illustration with Jeff. He was stumbling. He was dropping things. He was running into things. And he has no idea what's going on. And people struggle in this world, and they make wrong choices, and they make a mess of things, and they don't know. What's going on? How come my life's not turning out good? Well, because you're walking in the darkness. And you're stumbling, but you don't even know why you're stumbling. It's just, that's what happens when you walk in the darkness. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So when you come into the light, all of a sudden you're going to see God's plan unfold. You're going to see the right choices that need to be made, and you're going to see the wrong choices that need to be made. I love the story that I read about during the Christmas season of 1879. A newspaper reporter, now not a Christ follower, he was in Boston. He saw three little girls standing in front of a store window full of toys. It was Christmas time, is the assumption. and one of the three girls was blind. So coming closer, this newspaper reporter wanted to hear what was going on, and he observed that he heard the other two girls trying to describe the playthings to the sightless friend. Oh, about the toys and what's going on in the window there. And he said he never thought of how difficult it would be to explain what something looks like to someone who has never been able to see. So he writes an article in the newspaper about these three little girls and what was going on. He's not a Christ follower. A couple weeks later, he attends the D.L. Moody revival. And he's attending because he wants to write an article about how foolish the whole thing is. Okay. And while he's sitting there, Dwight L. Moody uses the newspaper story of the three girls in his sermon. I'm going to tell you a story, these three girls. One couldn't see. The other two tried to explain the very best they could. It was a great article. And the newspaper reporter is sitting here going, he's talking about my article. This is so cool. And then D.L. Moody said, just as the blind girl could not visualize the toys, so an unsaved person cannot see the glory of Jesus until they humble themselves and come to him. And this newspaper reporter said, that's me. And he humbled himself that night and gave his life to Christ, and the light came into his heart and life. And I want to tell you, you might be thinking, I can't understand this light thing. I don't understand the difference between darkness and light. What is he talking about? I want to tell you, you're never going to understand it. It's like me trying to explain toys to a blind girl in front of a store. You're not going to quite get it, but I want to tell you, if you're willing to humble yourself today and surrender to him, I want to tell you the light will shine in your heart. Number two, when you come to the light, what does this mean? You're going to see God's judgment clearer than you've ever seen it before. So what happens in this conversation, John 8, verse 15, you judge according to the flesh. Now, this is the word of Jesus to this crowd of unbelieving leaders of the nation of Israel. You judge according to the flesh. You see, he's talking to people in the kingdom of darkness. And he makes a statement about their ability to make judgment. So Romans 1, 21, listen to the word of God. Talking about non-Christ followers, they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Does that describe you in your life, the foolishness of your life choices? It's dark. Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. They can't make a decision of what light even looks like. They call darkness light, and they call light darkness, and they got it all upside down. By the way, if you're living in darkness, you're living in an upside-down world. Ephesians 4:18 says they're darkened in their understanding. So when Jesus looks at this crowd and he says, you judge according to the flesh, he's talking to people in the kingdom of darkness. And when you judge according to the flesh, this is what you got. You're trying to decide what's right and wrong with your life. You are making that decision based on human standards. You're making that decision based on a superficial understanding of what's going on. External observation, but I want to tell you, it's imperfect and it's insufficient. You cannot know God's judgment unless you come into the light, okay? So then Jesus says something kind of unusual, and it's we have to explain it here. He says to the crowd, I judge no one, verse 15. Now, remember, whenever you see a phrase in the Bible that's hard to understand, or maybe, what? It seems like a contradiction. Always compare Scripture with Scripture, okay? So what is he saying to this crowd? I judge no one. Well, first of all, he's saying he is not going to judge anybody independent of God's timing for his life. So when it says in John 3:17, I came not to condemn or I came not to judge, it doesn't mean that he's never going to judge. It means at that time, that wasn't the purpose of his first coming, but the second coming, he will come as a judge. He is not going to judge independent of his Father. He's not going to judge independent of God's word, the truth. He's not going to judge as they are judging according to outward or wrong values. So when Jesus says, I judge no one, he's not saying that I'll never judge anyone, but he's not going to judge the way they are judging. Okay? Then he says in verse 16, yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. So when you are walking in the light, you will walk in the truth, and the judgments that you're able to make will be true judgments. Why? Because you're in sync with God and his will. You're in sync with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, man, my judgment is true because I'm in sync with my Heavenly Father and I am doing what he's asked me to do. You want to have God's judgment in your life? You want to be able to have discernment in your decision making? You need the light. Okay. How many times have you been eating something and the restaurant has been dark and they do that on purpose and then you're going, what do you know what we're eating? I don't know. I can't see. You know, why don't they turn the lights on? You know, and then you find out you're eating crog legs or whatever it is. Crog legs are those good? I don't know. Anyway, I wouldn't eat them, but you know, or whatever. Maybe you're eating snails and whatever, and you're going, I don't know if I want to eat this. If I would have seen it, I wouldn't have eaten it. God's judgment. The light comes on and you have discernment for your lives. Number three, the third thing that happens is you're going to have an awareness of God's nature. When we talk about walking in the light, you're going to have an understanding of truth, the doctrine for a foundation for your life. Now, I do know that the word doctrine can be misused. If you talk about doctrine and all it is an external summary of knowledge you have that you spout off to prove how smart you are, that's not helpful, okay? But what I'm talking about, I want to tell you, when you're walking in the light, Christianity has lost this truth. So many churches and Christians have lost this truth. Listen closely. When you're walking in the light, you have a solid foundation of doctrine in your life. And what I mean by that is you know the truth of who God is, the truth of how God operates, and the nature of God is clear in your heart. And that becomes a foundation for your life. John 8:17 says, in your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. So he says, if you go into God's word, and he's talking to this audience that actually believe in the scriptures, and so he's telling them, okay, let's go to what the Bible says. Proverbs 6:23 says the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. So this audience is shaking their head. You know, the Jewish audience in the Temple Mount is going, yeah, Jesus, let's go to what the scripture says. Well, you know, it's a light for us, isn't it? And they're all going, yeah. Okay, then he says in Psalm 36:9, in your light do we see light. Now, what does that mean? It means that when you come into a relationship with God, you will start seeing him clearly and you will see your life clearly. Okay, if you want to see the light, you need to know him. He's going to help you. So then Jesus says in verse 18, I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Okay, verse 19, they said to him, therefore, where is your Father? We would say in our culture, who's your daddy? Okay, I don't. And the assumption is that Joseph, his earthly father, was already dead by this time. So they're going, you're talking about your dad, but we know your dad is dead. Joseph hasn't been around in a while. What are you talking about, Jesus? Now, I don't know what your biological dad situation is here today. Some of you have had some hard life journeys. But I want to tell you, when you come to Jesus, you have a heavenly father. And he loves you very much. And he will never give up on you. So Jesus answers, you don't know my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. John 14:9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So there's something about doctrine, the nature of God, that comes to light when you follow Jesus. You understand who Jesus is. He is the Son of the living God, eternal. You understand who God is. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You understand the clarity of the nature of God. And all of a sudden, things become clear as a foundation for your life. Isaiah 60, verse 19, but the Lord will be your everlasting light. The Lord. Well, who is the Lord? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, perfect in nature, equal in essence, and you can count on him. His promises are sure. One last thing I want to tell you today about the light is God's timing will be clear. So when you're walking in the light, you're going to have life. We learned about that. You're going to be able to understand God's plan, what he's up to, what he's doing in your life. You'll have some direction for your life. You'll have ability to have discernment. You'll have an ability to know God and who he is. And you will also trust in his timing, the deliverance for your life. John 8:20 says this, those words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Okay, now I want to tell you, you need to know a little bit about the Temple Mount here to understand this verse. Okay, first of all, in the Temple Mount, you have the Antonio Fortress where all the Roman soldiers are up high and they're watching everything that's going on. So you got this row of Roman soldiers up high watching. In the court of women, now this is really cool. You need to really hear this clearly. In the court of women, the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of the Jewish government, met in a hall right next to the court of women. I believe Jesus was standing right outside their door. In the court of women, it says, by the treasury, which is where the court of women was, he is not hiding. He is not cowering in the dark, hoping they don't see him there. He's standing with confidence and assurance. He is not afraid. The Sanhedrin is right there watching everything he's doing. He's standing there and he's saying, I have spoken to you. He says later, not in dark shadows, but in the open. And he was not afraid. Why? Because he trusted. He's walking in the light. He's trusting in the timing of his Heavenly Father's plan for his life. Romans 13:12 says, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You see, when you receive Jesus, you receive his light. Now you have a decision to make. You can walk in the light. You can trust in that light. You can lean into that light, his word. You can choose every day, even as a Christ follower, to put on the armor of light, to stand not afraid with confidence every day. But you know what? As Christ followers, we get so caught up with the darkness that we don't see what Jesus has brought to us. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Not a religion, not an organization. He is the light of the world. Can I ask you a question this morning? Is he your light? Let's bow in prayer. Lord God, I know there are some in this room that are not yet Christ followers. They've been deceived, thinking their lifestyle, their choices are okay. And maybe they're doing okay. They don't need to follow you. But Lord God, by your Holy Spirit and by the power of your word, I pray that today they will have a conviction and an awareness that they are living in darkness and it is time to come to the light. Lord Jesus, I know there's some Christ followers in this room that have been walking in the darkness. They have yielded to the thoughts of darkness. They have been tempted by the darkness. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness. But Lord God, may we today make a renewed commitment to walk in the light. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.